All right, another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio presented by the Moto Hub, the only app dedicated to motocross enthusiasts. On this episode, we have a privateer out of Texas. It's Kern Thurman. He's been crushing it this year, 4-for-4 for main events in his first full season racing Supercross. So we talked to him about that, how he got into the sport, and you know, his plans moving forward with all this coronavirus stuff going on. Also on the line is Tristan Lane, who is making his first year in Supercross as well. Been improving each week and was really on the cusp of making a main. And unfortunately, the season just got, you know, postponed or canceled at just the worst time for him. So we have him on to talk about that, his outdoor prep, and, you know, just his thoughts on professional Supercross. As always, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. But, all right, let's get into it. Me right now is recurring guest, friend of the show, Florida boy, Tristan Lane. What's going on, man?
Man, not a whole lot. Just staying away from this coronavirus. What about you?
Dude, social distancing. it might actually be good for me. You know, I'll lay off going to the bars and maybe start mountain biking and stuff. I'll probably get in pretty good shape.
Listen, I'm a professional social distancer. It's what I do best. Yeah, no, that's good, man. I tell you what, there's one thing you can do to stay away from the corona is just go to a motocross track or mountain biking. I think you'll be safe there.
Yeah, exactly, man. Dude, it's messing with everything. I'm sure it was even weirder for you, but this Saturday, man, I woke up, I was like, all right, can't wait to watch some time qualifying, got main events tonight. And then like 20 minutes later, once I finally woke up, I was like, oh shit, no Supercross. But I'm sure Saturday was even weirder for you.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, well, I think I told you this, but yeah, we went all the way to Indy, right? So we drove the whole distance there. We get there, and I'm not exaggerating. I found out on Instagram that they posted and said, you know, because of the 250 people ban or whatever, or minimum group you can have, you know, they ended up canceling the race. So, you know, I did 26 hours of driving for nothing, basically, and it was a bummer. I ended up going to ride at a local track in Florida outdoors on Sunday just to kind of burn some steam off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is weird. It's kind of, you get in a routine racing all every weekend, and when it stops, it kind of is a bummer.
Yeah, it was definitely a weird week, obviously, with like the NBA and NHL shutting down and all that stuff. I was like, oh, this is not looking good for Supercross. And then they came out and were like, oh, we're going to have it just with no fans. And then I was like, okay, well, we'll see some racing this weekend. And then maybe after that, they'll postpone it. But I guess just last minute decision. It's a bummer. I think it was Bubba Pauly. He was like Instagram living him on, you know, the track for like press day or something. And then he was like, oh, it's canceled, you know, as he was walking the track, which is just brutal.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I can relate to Bubba. I actually had press day for Indy. So I was like,
first time
all
year, right?
Excited. First time all year I've been trying to get in, right? Like Florida boy, can't get in at Tampa, his first Supercross, and then Daytona, right? It's like my backyard, and I couldn't get in for any of them. So I was like, well, I'm probably just not going to do press, but I got the green light for Indy. So I'm going there like just so pumped, right? Like this is going to be the weekend, and then, yeah, it gets canceled. So it's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, it's a bummer for everyone involved. You know, Feld, the riders, obviously, it's just – the fans all around. It's just a pretty shitty situation. But talk a little bit about your year so far, man. First year racing Supercross, you seem to be improving each week. We're really close to making some mains. Were you happy with the way it was going?
Yeah, it was good. Like, I mean, it kind of goes back to Monster Cup, right? So that's like in October. I go out to Monster Cup, ended up breaking my wrist riding at Brian Deegan's house, and I ended up racing Monster Cup and didn't do that great, and was kind of like, I was hurt, right, for a little bit trying to heal my wrist up, and I didn't even think Supercross was going to work out this year. So the fact that I even got to race, I was like, look, if I just finished a couple of these things, I'd be pumped with it. But, yeah, I made all the night shows and finished, you know, sixth place in, like, two or three LCQs, like right on the bubble, right, of making mains. And just, I got better every weekend, but I had some just weird stuff happen. Like in a couple in Atlanta, I was in fourth in my heat race and then got taken out. And then like in Daytona, had a decent start. And then obviously they decided to build the whoops like Supercross, you know, like big old walls, like after them being like mowed down all day. So we all ended up crashing in those things. Someone did a front flip in front of me and I hit their bike. And basically it's been kind of one of those things where I was super happy just to be racing. But now that I sort of see where I fit in, I'm like not really happy unless I'm in a main event. But, you know, I can't complain. I learned a ton and had so much fun. But I think for our first Supercross year, it was decent. I think I could have done better. But, you know, with all things considered, it was pretty good.
What was like the biggest thing that surprised you about Supercross? Maybe something you weren't expecting going in?
Well, I always heard like time qualifying is gnarly. Like people always said like the intensity is, you know, crazy, but it really is weird when you go to walk the track and you see how gnarly it looks. Like it's really big, really steep. Everything's huge, right? Because no bikes have really touched it. And you go out for your free practice and you get 8 minutes to learn, you know, a full Supercross track. And like, basically, you know, I've had a few guys in my corner that have done it before, like Mike Alessi or Josh Woods at GPF. And those guys were telling me like, okay, look, I know this is scary, but you got to hit like the finish line first lap. You got to hit the triple second lap. You got to blitz the whoops first lap. And I'm like, I don't even know if I can hit these jumps, right? Like I'm like freaking out. And that was a big learning curve for me. But on top of all of that, just the schedule, like it's actually really nice. You know, you can sleep in Supercross and your track walk's not till 10:30. You don't have to ride till 11 or 12. And then, you know, once you're in the night show, you sort of just chill out, get some dinner and then go racing under the lights. So it's a nice schedule. Definitely different than outdoors. Outdoors, it's kind of like you're up early. It's just a total grind. All that stuff together, I mean, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's definitely a whole different animal than outdoors. I'm not pumped to say this, but how you talked about the tracks being super, you know, all the jumps being big and all that stuff. It always looks different from like watching, but I rode Tampa MX this weekend, Tristan, and they had the same exact layout as a Pro Circuit Open, which I know was super, super tame for you guys. And I just felt like the biggest squid out there. So I couldn't imagine how gnarly it is on a Supercross track.
Listen, it is funny that you say that because I saw a buddy of mine, other than you, was out there riding too, and he said the same thing. But it is, you know, Tampa did a good job for sure. But yeah, it's crazy because like you ride that track and you're like, man, that's technical. But you go to these Supercrosses and I kid you not, I mean, if you come up like just a little short on some of these jumps, I mean, you could seriously like break your ankle. Like it's crazy. And then you know the whoops and free practice, they're fresh and they're big and. You know, they kind of make them intending for them to get broken down on this East Coast dirt, right? So they're big, and then they kind of drag them, and they get a little smaller by the night show. But in practice, like, I mean, you go out there, you got to be fourth gear, and, like, they're big, really big and intimidating. Some of the jumps, too, like watching these 450 guys, like as a privateer on a 250, you know, I'm a bigger guy on a 250, so I have to be realistic because sometimes you'll see these kids on, like, a factory 250 or like the privateer 450s even, or really anyone on a 450, and they can piece together pretty big rhythms. And, you know, a couple times I'll get courageous and I'll go for these things, and I'm just as fast as my bike will go, and I will come up super short, and I have to, like, kind of switch gears in my head, like, hey, you know, maybe your bike isn't fast enough, or maybe I should just stick to a raceable line. But, it's pretty gnarly.
Was there anything that you had kind of changed about your like race day program or your program during the week from like round one to round four?
Yeah, so basically leading up to Tampa, which was the opener for East Coast, I was training at GPF, Georgia Practice Facility, and I stayed there for a month. So when I was there, I actually crashed a few times, like just kind of the learning curves of Supercross, and I had a few nagging little injuries already, like I actually crashed in the whoops pretty hard one day and I hurt my heel. And then I had, in Atlanta, I crashed in practice and I got like a big hematoma on my hip. So when I had those little injuries and stuff, it was kind of like prohibiting me from getting a lot of practice in during the week. Mm-hmm. So I went from, you know, GPF, we ride like 4 days a week, getting ready for the season. And it's a lot of seat time, but once you're racing on Saturday, it's kind of like, race Saturday, and as a privateer, you know, we're driving all the way back to Florida, back to the home base, and then you know, I would try and go to GPF like one day a week to ride or just get some type of riding in. And the rest of it was just really off the bike. So I'd say the biggest thing that changed was just the amount of time I'm riding my dirt bike during the week was quite a bit less volume, but you can sort of maintain on a road bike or in the gym and sort of, you know, I was more just trying to get to the race healthy, you know, without a bunch of aches and pains. But it's definitely I think if you could fly home, you know, from these races and get home on a Sunday or even maybe, you know, early on a Saturday, whatever. But if you could get home and get back to riding by Monday, I think you could have more of a normal week. But yeah, us privateers, we don't have that luxury. So I just kind of ride as much as I can.
Who are you riding with up there at GPF?
There's a kid named Bryce Klippel that's out there. There's another guy, Dylan Cloyd. Just some privateer guys, but you know, we're a good group, and every now and again, some other guys will drop on in and ride with us. Obviously we're right next door to MPF. So, there's a bunch of guys that want to come over and ride too. So it's a good crew for me. It's been perfect because I've never really had, like a full effort trying to get ready for Supercross. It's always been like, you know, I'll dabble with it in the past. And then for the futures to get your license and stuff, you don't need to ride a full blown Supercross track. You just need something technical. So, you know, it's good. We work hard, and I've definitely put in a lot of work. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I know I didn't really get any main events this year, which is really a bummer for me. But, like, I swear it was, like, full-on boot camp getting ready for Tampa because I only had, like, a month, right? So, yeah, so it's all good.
You also pick, like, the worst year, I feel like, to like, go pro because East Coast was so stacked this year. Like, I remember seeing that lineup at Tampa, and there was, like, some legit dudes who didn't even make the night show.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's funny you say that. Like, Mike Alessi and Josh Woods, like, all these guys are telling me the same thing. Like, I thought West Coast, you know, always was the stacked one. But, yeah, I think it was Tampa, one of them. And there's, like, 65 kids signed up. And, I mean, literally, like, the difference between 30th or 20th in qualifying and 40th is, like, nothing. Like, there's barely any time difference. And, you know, there's, like, some pretty – there's some main event guys that weren't making the night show. You know, people that have made a main before. So, it's definitely intimidating for a first timer because, like, I know I could do well if I just had a little more time to get, like, you know, my Supercross feet under me. But you don't really get that luxury. You sort of just have to, like, go for it. And, you know, I definitely don't want to put in all that work and all that time and money to not even go racing because then you're really wasting your time. So, yeah, it was stacked this year for sure. But I think, like any series, you know, the longer it goes on, a couple guys get hurt and you kind of get the feeling of everything. And I think that the more rounds that would have continued, obviously bearing this whole Corona thing, I think it kind of, everyone gets comfortable and you sort of see where you fit in. And I think I would have hopefully made my way into a main event, but we'll see. Just get ready for next year if it doesn't work out for this year.
Let's talk about Daytona a bit. Obviously you grew up right down the road from the Speedway. How cool is it to race that event?
It was super cool. I mean, honestly, like, it's crazy because I'm so busy, like, focusing on my race and not really looking at the big picture. But I kid you not, I've been to every single Daytona since, I would say, 2005. Like, I've never missed one. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty surreal to be racing it this year. Like, I was, like, in the far, far back of the privateer pits, and I probably had the most busy pit of, like, anyone other than maybe, like, Eli Tomac or Ken Roczen. But, yeah, it was crazy. I was kind of stressed out, though. I think I filled out, like, 40 credentials or something for, like, friends and family, and I was just running all over the place and trying to get goggles ready, trying to warm up. You know, it was abnormally cold for a Florida day, so I was it was very stressful, but overall, yeah, it was just so rad, and I'm really happy to. I feel like I rode a lot better in practice. You know, I had a flat tire in one of my time qualifying sessions, so I didn't get to my first time qualifier was the only time that stuck for me. So luckily, I got a time in then, because in the second one, I ended up getting a flat. But qualified in the 20s, and I feel like it was a better transition towards the night show. You know, but obviously, things kind of got wild in that first heat.
I was going to say, you definitely looked your best all year from what I could tell. And obviously, you're 19th after the first set of qualifiers. Do you think that was more just because you're comfortable being at home, or maybe it was a little more outdoors type track?
I mean, probably a little bit of both. Yeah. Like, it's crazy because, like, the outdoors type track I thought was going to, like, suit me really, really well, right? But, you know, on a 250 with supercross suspension, it actually wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, it's so tight, and the sand is so, like, it's like fake sand, you know? It doesn't feel anything like what I normally ride. So I would say just the rougher, the better for me. You know, normally when tracks get hammered like that, I can kind of thrive on that and do better. But I think a little bit of it was just the fact that I was like kind of a hometown thing. Like, I just felt like I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder too. Like, I'm so sick of being on that edge of being in the main event, because realistically there was a few of them that I let get away from me and it was just kicking me. But I was like, listen, tonight is going down. But yeah, it didn't work out for me, but still had a really good time.
Yeah, I was so pumped, because you got a pretty good start in that first heat, and then I look over and there's just bikes and bodies flying through the whoops, and I was like, oh, I hope you made it through. And then next thing you know, I look over there and you're picking your bike up. Were they whoops that much more peaked?
Yeah, so basically in practice, like, they started out big, but they were rolled in big, so it was different. Like, they got really hammered in practice, and what they do for supercrosses is they don't touch the whoops all day long until the night show. But for Daytona, it was a little different. They did touch them up a few times during the day, but they were just kind of roll over them. So they actually got smaller and smaller. And then basically a few people told me that, I guess Carmichael did a sight lap or whatever before the night show. And he almost crashed his brains out, supposedly. So that was kind of like, oh boy, like, these things are big, but they didn't tell us anything. So, you know, I'm first heat, right? You know, the first heat of the night and all the energies in the stadium, and I'm just like ready to go get a decent start. Yeah, and I was like, all right, it's go time. And basically I go into the first four and they're just like straight up and down, so they're not like, it wasn't like they're impossible or anything. It was just if you're coming into them like you were in practice, yeah, you're gonna end up on your head. So just like I think it was Nick Gaines or a few other guys that crashed pretty dang hard. So they weren't rolled, you know, so you couldn't really like, you couldn't make a few mistakes and be fine. You had to be like perfect through them, or else you would kind of skip a whoop and end up dropping in there. But yeah, I came in like the first few, and a couple guys on my left ended up crashing, and I hit their bike, and then I, you know, ended up on my head before I knew it. But I think I sprained my wrist in the crash, like just kind of putting my arm out. But luckily nothing worse than that. I'm all good now, back to riding. So it could have been pretty nasty actually.
So obviously Supercross postponed, probably, I think most likely canceled for the year. Now what? Yep. What's the plan now?
Well, you know, it was crazy. I was planning on doing the rest of the East Coast, and I was like, look, I just want to finish as much of it as I can. But yeah, I mean, they kind of left us with the idea of like, look, it's probably over with. I mean, there's a few guys that are telling me there may be, you know, a doubleheader. Yeah. They may finish it in Vegas or blah, blah, blah. But realistically, like with everything going on, I mean, I'm just kind of assuming, look, it's not going to happen. And as a privateer guy, like for me, I already had plans for outdoors, you know, and I really want to be prepared for that. And, you know, it comes up quick. So I decided to just sort of transition, you know, switch gears from Supercross, and I just focus on outdoors now. So I put the 250 away, got back on the 450, and I've been doing road bike rides and, you know, some motos out with Mike Alessi out of his track, and just trying to get, you know, starting those 30-minute motos and getting everything going again. It's definitely a lot harder than I remember it being last year, but I think hopefully I'll kind of get back in the groove of it soon.
How did you get hooked up with Mike Lessie? I've noticed you've been riding with him a lot more, and how much does he kind of help you out?
Yeah, Mike's cool. He's basically the guy that's been helping me, Donald Davis. He put a program together for me. We have a small privateer effort, but him and Mike are really good friends, and he lives up in North Florida, Mike does. So this guy that is helping me, he also lives up there. So we kind of hooked up, and, you know, we've been racing each other a few times. We raced each other in Canada and a lot of these local, like, pro circuit opens, or just, you know, the fastest in Florida and WW. We always end up finding each other on the track somehow. So we became friends, and he has a lot of experience, obviously, and he's done this for a long time. So he's been able to kind of help me and kind of steer me in the right direction. But obviously the guy's got, like, he's the best starter of all time. So he definitely can help me in that sense. And he's gave me a few tips here and there, but overall just a good guy to bounce information off of. And if I got any questions, you know, I just hit him up. So
I gotcha. And I obviously privateer life is super rough. The races are, you know, your main, if only, source of income. I see you're doing a class up here shortly. Want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So I got a class coming up, and 100% of the proceeds are going to be going towards my 450 outdoor season. It's going to be held at Waldo Motorsports in Florida here. It's a really sweet track. A lot of guys do their training here in the winter and all that good stuff. But we're going to rent out the track for 2 days. Originally, the camp was scheduled for March 27th and 28th, but I think we're actually talking about maybe postponing it and just finding a better date because all this, you know, coronavirus crap. So just to give everyone a fair chance to come out. I mean, it's going to be obviously I know it's all going towards helping my racing, but ultimately I think it's going to be a really good class for everyone and a lot to learn. I'm going to have Mike Alessi as a, you know, special instructor doing a whole shot clinic, and we're going to have actually a few cool things and a lot of giveaways. You know, as a privateer, we don't get a lot, but I definitely have some really solid sponsors that are helping us out. And we're going to, thanks to them, we're able to give out some cool stuff. We're going to be giving away tires, gear, you know, apparel. And we got like Recluse is going to be giving away some clutch cylinders and a bunch of cool stuff. And like, we're going to try and, you know, give back and make it worth everyone's while for sure.
It's funny with these classes, man. I took one when I was like first getting on big bikes, and you know, you're there for 2 or 3 days, and it's funny that you may like pick up like 2 or 3 things, but those 2 or 3 things you pick up really help you out in the long run, because you'll start thinking about it when you ride, and the next thing you know, you start applying it to your racecraft. So it's obviously, like you said, all the proceeds are going to go to your 450 outdoor effort, but it's the people that take the class who are going to get the most out of it, really, because they're going to just pick up on some, you know, cool tips.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. Like, I still remember being a kid on a 85 and like just random people around Florida getting some motocross lessons, and I still use all that stuff to this day. I mean, it's good to hear from a couple different people, and obviously like anything that I attach my name to, I want to be credible and a really, you know, a successful thing. So we're definitely trying to go all out with it, and you know, we got like I said, I'm gonna hire Mike to come out and do a lot of tips and instructions. And like I said, I mean, for starting, at least, I mean, you're gonna be able to learn from, he's literally going to tell you exactly what he does on a start, and he's the greatest starter ever. So yeah. I look at it like, that's awesome. And then I've got a lot of knowledge I can share, and being a current, you know, privateer right now, I want to help people, just let them know what it's like, and, you know, give people ideas on how to practice better. And obviously all the fundamentals and technique and stuff. Cause one thing I pride myself on is I'm definitely like a student of the sport, and, you know, I'm very strategic with how I ride, and I try and order about technique and all that stuff. So I would love to help anyone in any way I can. So anyone that's listening to this, definitely get with me, and let's get you in the class.
Yeah, where can people go? Facebook or Instagram is the best way to reach you?
Yep, Instagram at TristanLane711 or Facebook under Tristan Lane. You can Facebook Messenger me or just DM me on Instagram, either way, and definitely I'll get in touch with you, and we'll make it happen.
Awesome, man. What's the plan for outdoors? We going all the way out to California, you know, obviously hoping it starts on time and all that, or are we just going to do the East Coast ones?
Well, you know, it's kind of up in the air. A little birdie told me, that's a pretty good inside source, that the first couple rounds I think are going to be a no-go as far as Hangtown and that next one in California. So not that it's for sure, but like I said, I'm pretty sure those aren't going to happen. But we're kind of planning on Colorado first round, and then going to WW back in Florida, the hometown race, and trying to do all the rounds. Yeah, it's going to be cool. I've got a good friend, John Ayers, and I think I'm going to be having my bike going on a rig with him, and hopefully going to try and even maybe fly to a couple of these rounds. So, we'll see how it goes. But as of now, it's just sort of get ready for it, because, you know, you remember those races, how hot they are and how gnarly those tracks are. You definitely don't want to come up there unprepared. So we're going to try and put our best foot forward and get ready for that stuff.
I was at dinner last night, and we were all talking about the Florida National and stuff. And I was just like, man, it'd be so much better if that race was in January, because it was brutally hot last year.
It was bad. Yeah, it was so hot. Like I remember I did press day there, and it was, I mean, it's like, you know, 95 degrees or something, but it feels like 100 degrees. And I just remember doing the moto, and you know, it's just press. You don't have to do anything. You can just go slow if you want. But, you know, I'm trying to learn the track and test my bike, and I got so hot. I was like, man, I gotta pull off. I might pass out. And then, you know, the next day you're doing a practice, 2 35-minute motos, and the track is just beat up. It is brutal, but for me, like, I love that stuff. And I love, you know, seeing how much work I can put in to be ready for it. Cause I always like say, like, as a privateer, you know, I don't get the best support, I don't have the best bikes or, you know, the best resources, but I can always control, you know, how fit I am and how prepared I am as far as just being riding on the motorcycle and off the bike. So I try and make up for anything I lose, you know, with material stuff or, you know, financially with making up off the bike, basically.
So is the goal for outdoors top 20 each round?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's funny you say that. I was just thinking about this yesterday on my bike ride. I was like, I got to pretty much, there's no option. Like, I have to be, I got to score points like every round now. I think I'm definitely capable of it. I mean, I know I've done it before. It's just more one of those things. Like, it's a lot of mental for me. Like, I think now I feel like I belong a little better. You know, first couple years doing it, it's literally just like, I'm learning as I go. Bike situation is horrible. I'm riding a bone stock bike and I'm just trying to just survive basically. But I'm going to try and do a couple things different this year. And I'm going to go back to GPF at the Georgia practice facility. And they've got a really nice outdoor track and a good program over there. So I'm going to spend some time there getting ready and ride with some fast guys. And I think it's going to help me a lot. But yeah, I mean, the goal is get up there in the points positions and, you know, see how low I can drop that position. So we'll see.
We need national number for 21. For 2021.
Listen, it's happening. Stamp it now. You've heard it first on the show. It's going to happen.
One last thing before I let you go here. I don't know if you've noticed this. I don't think I've texted you, but a couple weeks ago, I went out mountain biking. I was checking my, you know, Strava segment times and for, like, the people that I'm following on Strava. And it just so happened that one of my times was faster than yours. Are you nervous now?
Oh, shoot. Wait, where is this at?
Probably like Bomboy Air, Alify. But I remember looking at it. I'm going to try to pull up now. But I remember looking at it and be like, oh, man, I'm fast.
Listen, I don't know if you know what you've just unleashed, but I'm pretty much going to have to go there now and just go KOM hunting for you. I mean, like, if anyone's going to beat me, I would be honored for it to be you on that trail. But that's awesome. Yeah. No, I love Strava. It's funny because my dad is super into mountain biking and we enjoy going to these trails and, like, just smashing KOMs for fun, you know. it's awesome. But that trail is so gnarly. And much respect if you beat our times because that place is super tough. But I really like that place.
I just pulled it up. So it was a 0.4-mile segment. All right.
Yep.
I did a 1 minute 57. Then Tristan Lane, 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
Oh, smoke me.
Dude. Step it up.
Listen, I got to get on your level. I think that's good motivation for sure. But again, I'll go back to it. If I'm going to get beat, I hope it's by you.
All right.
So I'm not butthurt, but it is some good motivation for next time.
Definitely, man. Well, who do you want to thank before I let you get out of here?
Oh, for sure. Silverback Racing, for sure. Like I said, Donald Davis, the whole Davis family, they've stepped up huge for me this year. Bextech, FXR, Georgia Practice Facility, EVS, Recluse, Dunlop, Scott, Mika Metals, Donald Dempsey, Kelly Shires, just people supporting me, and anyone else I forgot, I really appreciate all the help.
All right, man. Thank you again for coming on, and you enjoy the rest of your night, and good luck with the outdoor prep.
Yeah, man. I'll see you soon. Thank you for having me on.
Later.
Yep, see you.
All right, on the line with me right now is a privateer out of Texas. It's Curran Thurman. How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, dude. It feels weird. I'm sure it feels even more weird for you, but no Supercross to talk about this weekend. It caught me so off guard Saturday morning. I was like, all right, I can't wait to, you know, turn on Race Day Live, watch some qualifying, and then I think that's when it all hit me, man. But I'm sure it was a weird weekend for you.
Yeah, it was a little different. I was racing, I think, that every one so far, every Supercross so far. So this weekend was a little bit off. But I tried to, you know, keep myself kind of, you know, going with. I went riding and stuff, so it was all right. But a little different. It's kind of weird. Like I've never known of a Supercross getting canceled or multiple. So that's kind of crazy, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time one's ever gotten canceled, to be honest. Now, where were you when you found out that it wasn't happening? Did you already make it all the way up to Indiana, or were you still in Texas?
Yeah, I was already in Indiana. I had, like, just got there. I drove, like, I stayed in Florida and rode a few days after Daytona. And then I drove Thursday. I left at, like, 5 a.m. and then I drove 12 hours And luckily, I was going to stay like an hour or so from the stadium. And I was at the gym at the time, and yeah, I found out, and it was a bummer. Like I had to, they couldn't have did it the day before, and I would have saved 12 hours of my day. So it was a bummer. I found out Thursday when they posted it. So yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, it was a weird week for sure. Obviously, with like the NBA and NHL and all that getting canceled, I figured Supercross was next. And then they had announced that they were still going to have it, just with no fans. Then they were probably going to cancel the ones after that. But, man, that's a bummer. You had to drive all the way up there. I think it was Bubba Pauly's, like, Instagram. He was walking the track when he found out. So it seems like it was a big cluster up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a bummer. Us, like, privateers, we, the ones that, you know, drive and actually take their bikes, it's kind of a, or, you know, fly there. You still, everyone's spending money, I guess, you know, but it's still a bummer for everyone to have to spend that unwanted money or time, you know, going all the way there and then having to just go all the way back home. So, yeah.
And, dude, like, obviously racing's your main source of income, you know, and it's, didn't make any money this weekend. And you're not, I guess, however many get canceled, you're going to miss out on just that purse money there too. So I'm sure that's a huge blow.
Yeah, it is for sure. I had already paid my entry fee for the Indy round as well. So like, I don't know how that all works. Hopefully, like, it'll either go to the next round or come back to me, you know, before then. You know, that'd be cool. But yeah, it's just a lot of wasted money. But I guess we're going through hard times throughout the country, so it happens. And I understand, you know.
Yeah, it's like, what can you do, honestly? Has like Feld or anyone reached out to you about maybe like a tentative plan when they might start, you know, trying to get races again, or has there been any communication on that side?
No, not with me. Really, the only stuff I've heard is, you know, on social media and like Supercross, you know, posting on social media and other people. That's how I found out, was, you know, on Instagram.
Yeah.
I was just someone tagged me and something. I was like, oh shoot, all right then. Like, I didn't get a call or nothing. Like, yeah, I wish they would, you know. I hope when they get a plan together and, you know, settled and everything is set into place, I hope they kind of reach out to us as quick as they can, you know, so we can get a plan together with maybe going to a few more rounds this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying, man, and it's happening to everybody, you know, all the sports. And even, I don't know about in Texas, but in Florida, all the bars are shutting down, all the restaurants are shutting down. Like, I went to the grocery store today, there was no barely any food anywhere. It's pretty hectic everywhere.
Yeah, here as well. I think I just, for my sister just had told me that, you know, some stuff like that was happening here. Some bars are shutting down and all that, but yeah.
Well, let's move on from the old coronavirus. I'm sure everyone's heard enough about that. Let's talk about your 2020 season so far. Really good year for you, man. Obviously, it's your second season race Supercross, your first real full season racing it. Made all four main events. You have to be happy with that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really happy with that. That was kind of like my first goal, because, you know, I'd have never met a main event, so that was definitely like the first goal to check off, I would say. And then I'm pumped with that. That's kind of like the main goal for me right now, is, you know, getting into as many as I can of the main events. And just now it's kind of like, let's finish the whole main strong, you know. Let's get better with the intensity and all that stuff now. So, but it's just good. It's been great to start the East Coast, you know, and those four first ones to get it in the main. It's lifted a lot of weight off my shoulders, because I was doing the 450 West Coast rounds before that, and they were getting better, but it was nothing too spectacular that I was super proud of, you know. So
weren't you pretty close to making one of the mains on the 450 as well, maybe a couple before Tampa?
Yeah, my best one, I think, was the one in Arizona.
Okay.
Glendale. I got a sixth in the LCQ. It was good. I was starting to gain some momentum in the 450. Mm-hmm. I kind of had a crash in one of the LCQs, which was a bummer. But I kind of was a little bit – I couldn't ride for, you know, for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So. That was a bummer, but it was good enough to kind of.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it was once like Tampa came around. It was like 2 weeks before Tampa that it happened. So once it came around, I was pretty good to, you know, put up some good effort.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, it got better by then. So yeah.
Dude, those first like 5 or 6 450 rounds were super stacked. So I'm sure that gave you some confidence, you know, just riding with good guys in the LCQ, because there was quite a few rounds where some usual main event guys didn't even make it in.
Yeah, for sure. It was crazy. There was a lot of guys, you know, at Anaheim 1, and it was like really, really stacked. But like it was tough to even, you know, get in the night show those first few rounds. So that definitely, you know, seeing all the pretty good guys mm-hmm. that I was getting a race with, and you know, watching how they do things, it was definitely good to see, and it gave me a good bit of confidence.
Yeah, man, for sure. Was this your first time at Daytona? I couldn't remember if you were there last year.
Yeah, the ones I did last year were Nashville, New Jersey, and then Vegas. But this was my first time to race, you know, the real deal Supercross at Daytona. I did Amateur Day like in 2014, I think it was. So I got, you know, I went there and I kind of knew how the speedway was and stuff. So that was cool to go back and actually do the real Supercross mm-hmm. because the last time I was there, I watched the pro day, and it was gnarly. Like I was like, oh my gosh, these guys are crazy. You know, it was gnarly looking. So it was definitely cool to come back and, you know, even get in the main. That was super sick, I think.
How hard was it for you to ride with no front fender?
Oh, it was crazy. I think my front end was a little twisted too. So I've ridden one time on an outdoor track without a front fender one race, but it was even worse than like the last time I did it. It was really weird on like a Supercross, and especially mm-hmm. the ruts were kind of getting deeper. It was weird seeing like your tire, and it kind of threw it off. So for a few laps, I was just kind of trying not to do anything too wild and crash again. So it was crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't. It, you know, it's such like a centimeter, even I would say inches game, but centimeters game of Supercross. You know, just being that little bit off messes you up so much. I know, just like you said, if you fall over and tweak your bars, it takes a little while to get used to it. I could not imagine, you know, going for those huge jumps and hitting those deep ruts without like that, you know, marker that you use every time you ride.
Yeah, for sure. It was tough, but yeah, I was just wanting to have some mm-hmm. fun. I was in the main event. I was like, man, front fender, whatever. I'll figure it out. So I did, and just I kind of tried to have more fun than, you know, try to just come back and, you know, just hurt myself or something. You know, I tried to just be like, oh, no fender. Out here, let's have some fun, you know. So that's kind of how I went about it. It kind of made it a little easier.
I got you. Sometimes that makes it better too. Like I know some guys say, like if they get a bad start, it's like, all right, let's just, you know, try to do our best. It takes a little bit of the pressure off. They start having fun and they end up doing really well.
Yeah, I think for myself, it helps me when I kind of take that little bit of pressure off. It kind of just, a lot of the time at the, you know, Supercross or, you know, outdoors, you put a lot of pressure, you get nervous over stuff you shouldn't really get nervous over, you know? So just saying, let's go ride your dirt bike. It helps me out a lot.
I gotcha. So you're with the Team All South guys. What is Team All South?
So Team All South, there's a few different companies, you know, that they have, that they run. One is All South Sprinkler. That's kind of the main deal. And they're out of like near Atlanta, Georgia. They do like fire sprinklers, let's say, in like a Walmart or something. You know, they have the fire sprinklers up top in the ceiling and all that. And a lot of other places as well, restaurants, wherever they might have them. You know, they do that type of work. And then they have another business, All South Auto Sports. They do like Jeep, truck, lifts, tires, you know, whatever you can imagine, you know, they do it there. So that's kind of what the companies are and what they do.
Okay.
But the owner last year, John McCullough, he you know, just loved dirt bikes, loved motorsports in general. But he, you know, had a few riders on his team last year. He loved it, so he wanted to give back, help out a little bit. And he passed away last year, so that's kind of a bummer. But his daughter Abby McCullough, she wanted the All South name and team to keep going, for sure for this year, kind of for her dad and his name, and she's been helping us out, and it's been a crazy year, but every team is not perfect in their first year, so it's all right.
And who else is under that tent?
So it's Nick Schmidt on the 450 and Van Martin as well. He got hurt at the second round, so he hasn't been racing. But Nick Schmidt, Van Martin, me, Zane Merritt, and then Kyle Swanson.
Okay. Do you and Zane Merritt get in arguments at who has the best flow out there with the hair?
Oh, no. I'll give it to Zane. He has some crazy hair. That's like a lion's mane, man. I'll give it to him on that.
Yeah, it was... I obviously kind of hasn't made a main yet this year. Maybe the transition to Supercross is struggling. But I remember last year watching him in outdoors with that hair just flowing. I think it was Millville when he was running like top 10. It was cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. That's some gnarly hair. Especially if you're riding in the sand, your hair catches a bunch of sand. I'm like, God, that's probably. It's probably a tough, shower. He's washing that stuff. But, yeah, he killed it in the outdoors. And, yeah, he's cool to have on the team. He wants to do good, and it's good to have people around you that want to do good. And definitely the rest of the team is awesome as well. They have a lot of experience, Nick Schmidt and Ben and Kyle. They've been doing it a few years. So they kind of help us out, with what we might need to hear sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Why did you choose the KTM, or was that kind of a team deal?
The KTM was kind of a team deal, but I rode Huskies, last year and stuff. And I honestly, I really like them. I came from a Honda a few years ago, and I really like the Husky and KTM. I bought a few of my bikes, I have had to finance a few bikes in the last year. Just to, go riding and racing, and that's what I bought because that's, what I feel is the best bike out there, to be honest. Like, it's just so easy to, ride, and you feel like you can do whatever you want, or I feel like I can do whatever I want on it. So that's, that's why I ride them, to be honest.
Yeah, being comfortable on the bike is probably the most important thing, when you're racing.
Oh, for sure. Comfort is everything out there on the track.
So during the week, where are you riding? Are you just kind of hitting spots where there are in between the rounds, or do you go back to Texas, kind of home base, and have a certain place where you ride?
I'll give you a little rundown on how it's worked out this season. It's kind of been hard at times, but when I was out on the West Coast, luckily enough, Nick Schmidt, he let me stay with him. He lives in California, so for a few weeks there, I was staying with him, and it was awesome. Like, they have a few Supercross tracks just 30 minutes away from where he lives. So we were going riding a few days a week, and that helped out a bunch. And ever since about right after Oakland, I hurt myself a little bit. I didn't ride during the week for, until this last week before Daytona is when I rode, actually rode a good bit of a few motos and stuff. So, that's kind of how it's gone those past however many weeks it was, 4 or 3. That's how it's gone. And then after Daytona, I got to ride a little bit more at Baggett's place. He was nice enough to let me come, ride a few days out there. So that was cool as well.
I gotcha. It definitely helps too. Like when I think motocross is like one of the few sports where people do that, where they let other riders come in and train at their places. And really, it's probably because, as much as the more you ride with the guys at your caliber, it's only going to help you out in the long run.
Yeah, it helps out a bunch riding, or even seeing better riders, ride, or even, riding with them, it's awesome. It kind of, you have to take it, differently than just riding with, riding by yourself and stuff. You kind of have to go about it different, but once you get the mindset of let's better ourselves today, even if we're not going to be better, so sometimes it can be, hard on you, but then in the long run, it helps you out a lot. So it's awesome.
Dude, I've noticed more, I think maybe, I think I started noticing last year or maybe this year at the beginning, there's a ton of dudes from Texas out there.
Yeah, there's definitely a few of us out there. I think definitely more in the 450 class. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's still a good bit of us from Texas out there. I think there used to be a lot of good fast guys. I think it went a little bit low for a while, but now we have a good bit of us out there, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'm just looking, you know, at the 250 results here. You know, you got you, John Short, Grant Harlan, Carter Halpain made the main event this past weekend, and then there's even more that are, you know, in the LCQs and the heat races as well. It's cool to see for sure. And I'm sure you've ridden with these guys at some point or not, you know, throughout your life.
Yeah, it is cool. I've raced most of the guys before Supercross and amateur races and stuff. So it's cool. Yeah, it's cool to see how we're all, you know, racing Supercross now with each other. And we tend to see each other out there on, you know, on the track too. So that's cool. And hopefully, you know, it grows to become, you know, Texas can be more of like a place where other people come and train and ride with us. Definitely. That'd be awesome, you know.
For sure. Let's take it way back here, man. How did you first get started riding dirt bikes?
So I was probably about, I'd say almost three. My grandpa and my dad, they got me, we went to a motorcycle shop in Houston, and they got me a PW50. And it had train wheels on it for a while, but then I just learned how to ride it. And my dad used to ride a little bit when I was young. He had like a 125, and he'd come to this a little shack cedar motocross park out near our house and ride a little bit. And then it kind of, I don't know what it was. I just kind of always liked, you know, just riding and having fun. And then it kind of developed into going to races and racing. And it's a weird, you know, deal. It's like, it's hard to explain, but it's like you kind of create a love for racing. Mm-hmm. And everything like that. And you just, it kind of turned into a deal, like all of our family would go and we would have a fun time, you know, and just being around everyone, it kept me close with my family like that since. And ever since I was young, I just did, you know, local races and stuff. And when I was about, I think 11 or so, we started going to some of the bigger amateur nationals and stuff like that. I did Loretta's and stuff and Lake Whitney and Oak Hill, all those ones, and Ponca. And it kind of just went from there. I was never the greatest or nothing at when I was young. And then once I got on the big bikes, I don't know what it was, but I kind of started, this thing started getting better, and I started clicking. And, you know, I don't know what it was. I just got a lot better than I was on small bikes. It just kind of worked better for me in that way. But, yeah, and it didn't go so smooth. For a while, I was just, you know, going to college and riding when I could, you know, on the weekends and stuff. And I didn't do too much racing for a little while. And then I started working and went that route. I didn't really have much of an option with, you know, with bikes. Mm-hmm. I had some bikes that weren't, you know, you can't just go racing with the top guys and expect to do good with bikes like that. So it wasn't necessarily worth that for a while. I worked for a little bit, and I had a bike. I went to Loretta's for fun again. And I did, that was kind of like the point when I was like, man, I'm still getting better. I'm getting older, but I still getting better. So at that point I was like, man, maybe I can get some sponsors and we can go try to race for a year or two, you know, and see how good I can get. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm lucky enough to have some sponsors that are helping me out. And yeah, just kind of trying to see how far I can get with it. And I think I'm still improving. So that's always like the main thing is, if I'm improving, let's keep doing it. Yeah, as long as I can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I would say I respect the, you know, going to college, doing the work thing and stuff like that. But like you said, you're continuing to get better. You know in yourself that you can go out there and do this. And as long as you're, you know, making the night shows, making mains, making some money to support it, why not do it?
Yeah, for sure. I pretty much I have no problem with, you know, the money I make from the night show or whatever it is. I have no problem putting it back into the program. That's what I've been doing. And until I either don't race or have the program so good where I don't need to do that, I'm going to keep, you know, doing it because that's what it's taken. So I have no problem. I'm not doing it for, you know, to make $1 million. I'm doing it because I love chasing it. I love chasing the dream. And it's really fulfilling, even though working a regular job, you can have, you know, money and you can be stable. There's something about, you know, chasing the dream that gives me a real sense of fulfillment, and I love it. So until I feel like I don't want to do it anymore, I'm gonna keep chasing it.
Yeah, man, that's like, it's the definition of racing, you know, just living the dream and like you said, just chasing it. And I'm sure that, you know, keeps the fire inside you to keep wanting to do better.
Oh, for sure. There's hard times, for sure, man. So it definitely fuels it. There's always going to be hard times, but coming from, you know, where I came from, it's kind of helped me, you know. Yeah. I think so. So hopefully I can keep that in me and keep getting better. That's what I hope for.
Definitely, man. So when you're not, you know, training or you're not riding during the week, what do you like to do to relax or for fun outside of the moto world?
My dad has a boat, and he's like really, when he was younger, he's more into like the skateboarding, wakeboarding, you know, snowboarding, all that type of stuff. I'm not really a skater or like a surfer or nothing, but I like to go out on the water with my family and just wake surf and stuff like that. That's really fun, especially when friends are out there as well. It's kind of like a cool deal just to relax and, you know, hang out with your family and friends. And then I like running. I like just going for, you know, runs, and it helps clear the mind. That's kind of one of the other things I'm into. And it keeps you, you know, in shape for motocross, It kind of, you know, just helps you clear the mind, because sometimes that's needed, you know.
Definitely, man. It's super awesome. Thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate it. And before I let you go, who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
Oh, there's a lot of people, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me everything I have, you know, my family, my friends, my sponsors, and to name a few, Munn Racing, Chip and Big Dan over there, they helped me out a ton. I can't thank them enough just for being the people they are. They love racing, and to, you know, get help from someone that, you know, goes to the races every weekend, that's awesome. And the Ronnie Prado Company, thank you, Ronnie, for the help you've given me this Supercross season. Team All South, just got to thank Abby and a lot. She's helped out so much with this Supercross season. We're going to keep it going if there's more rounds to come, and hopefully there is. Fly Racing, they are awesome to not only, you know, the top factory riders, but us privateers as well. Thanks to those guys. And Hoosier Tires, Freedom MX, Race Tech, Three Palms MX, Engine Ice, and Ultimate MX. Thanks to those guys. I'm probably missing a few, but thanks to everyone if I forgot any.
Awesome, man. Well, hopefully we'll see you out there racing as soon as we can get this thing figured out, man. Again, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No worries, dude. See ya. On fire, baby, you can turn into cinder and smoke, 'cause the house is mighty cold and I feel like melting all the snow away.
house on fire, baby. You can turn it into smoke.